Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. First and foremost, wanted to talk to you guys about all the things that we have going on right now and that are getting ready to go on with the podcast. If you notice on iTunes, it's no longer called the Stampede Blue Colts Cast. It is simply Stampede Blue, the podcast, so under SB Nation's umbrella there. And that's kind of a prelude to the things that we've got coming for you with the show. My show will ultimately be the Colts Cast. We've got some exciting things coming up for the future, the very near future, I might add, and I think you guys are going to love it. It's really going to expand on what we can bring you here at Stampede Blue, especially on the audio version of everything. So really exciting things coming. If you haven't subscribed yet on iTunes, make sure you're doing that. That's definitely something you're going to want to do in the very, very near future. So let's talk a little bit about what we should expect from the Colts opponent this week in the Washington Redskins. You might be telling yourself that, you know, Alex Smith is a quarterback, not that big a deal, not a downfield thrower or anything like that. But, I don't think that that's accurate. I would not say that to be accurate. I think that Alex Smith is more than proven that he is a top NFL quarterback in this league. He's accurate. He gets the ball to his playmakers, and things happen. We saw that last year in Kansas City. He was going downfield as much, if not more, than anybody. And he is an accurate quarterback. He's got some wheels outside of the pocket. He is a dangerous quarterback, any way you look at it. And in a defense such as the Indianapolis Colts, where they are set up in the Tampa 2 type style defense, where everything is zone and everything is try to drive on the ball, the Colts are going to be chasing a lot, just like they have been this past week. Some alterations may come out of what Matt Eberflus can put forward for the defense, but ultimately, this defense has just simply got to get faster, better, more instinctual. That's part of the defensive scheme. That's really what is going to make a difference. Now, Alex Smith is going to have no problem finding people in those zones. The maybe the real question is, can these receivers get into those zones and stay put? I think that we have, first, let's look at the backfield, first of all. Adrian Peterson came back, 26 carries, 96 yards last week. That is beyond impressive. I mean, for not only just his age, but to come back and do that again, he didn't have that when he was playing just a couple years ago. And I don't think he had that anywhere near that last year. So he is definitely going to be a beast. Like I said, Alex Smith is going to get outside of the pocket. Can the Colts contain him? They haven't in the past very well, but 8 carries last week, that was second on the team. So, Chris Thompson adds some of the big playability for them in the backfield, but he's not going to get the ball a lot. And Adrian Peterson is going to be that bell cow. So the Colts are going to have to stick him and stick him hard. And let me tell you, those situations where the defensive line is slanting like crazy, man, Adrian Peterson is going to eat that up if our linebackers don't knock him off his feet. I mean, that's honestly what it comes down to. So this is going to be a tough game, guys. And, we don't know how the weather's going to be, because it's apparently the hurricane is climbing up the coast. Look, the Colts are going to have to play hard football and quality football if they want a chance at this one, because this is a seasoned veteran under center. Damn near a retired running back there, so he's seen it all. But the receiving core is a little bit different. I mean, they had one guy who had more than 5 receptions, and I think the only actual receiver that had 4 receptions was Paul Richardson. Jordan Reed, he's a tight end. He had 4. Chris Thompson, the running back, had 6. So he is a guy who they're going to use more out of the backfield than Adrian Peterson. But Peterson had a big play, a 52-yard catch and run. So, this is going to be a difficult task this week. The Colts have their hands full, I think. And you look at the defense that features like Zach Brown, DJ Swearinger, Quentin Dunbar had an interception last week. I mean, these guys have a lot. I mean, Ryan Anderson up front. There's a lot of guys on this defense that are going to make life hell for the Indianapolis Colts offense. So this is something that we really have to kind of, you know, take with a grain of salt, because this is not going to be just your easy peasy run of the mill, you know, bounce back type game for the Indianapolis Colts. I think that we are absolutely going to have to see Andrew Luck put it all together. Okay. We talked about, you know, this past, what was it, Monday, in kind of our recap show, where I talked about that is just what you're going to get from Andrew Luck. And it is. But there have to be a big handful of games where Andrew Luck does not turn the ball over. He is ultimately who we have to, you know, hitch our wagon to if the Colts want to win. But he also can't be the reason that the Colts don't take advantage of easy opportunities, i.e. turnovers in the red zone. That has been one of Andrew Luck's biggest positives throughout his career, is his red zone accuracy, ability to score, put the ball in the end zone, not just kicking field goals. He's not done that the past couple, you know, couple years. So that, or I'm sorry, he did that last year, 16, in 2016, he was really good. But in the preseason and in the early season now, we see that he's done it a couple times. That's something that they simply cannot do. He has to understand inside the red zone, you have to throw that ball away if you can't get a completion and an obvious one, because the Colts just simply don't have that kind of room for error. You know, like I said, he is a guy who's going to drive this train. But if the Colts expect to, you know, have a defense turn the ball over two times for Andrew Luck, and he's going to ultimately give one back to him, the Colts can't have that. They cannot have that. It just simply cannot be the case. So I'm just very hopeful that everything, once we get everything squared away, that you know, the Colts come out a little. I mean, they were prepared. I want to see them come out a little more focused, you know, early on, because we saw, you know, the first couple possessions, and then Luck got on pace. First half, the Colts looked like they were far and away the better team. And then in the second half, you know, kind of after the first scoring drive there on their second possession, everything fell apart. The Colts weren't as good on third down. The Colts were not as good on second down either, for that matter. And the Colts were, you know, I mean, Andrew Luck threw a couple balls that should have been intercepted across the middle. They weren't, luckily, but there were just some lapses in judgment. And I think that the Colts came out trying to play not to lose, and I don't want that to be the case. I want the Colts to come out fiery in each half, because that's really what they need, is that energy to help boost them, especially with a kind of a lack of experience and a lack of real quality talent at depth. So a lot of things for the Colts to overcome early in the schedule, because this is, you know, you go 0-1 against the Bengals, and it definitely a game that the Colts should have won. And then they're gonna, if they lose here in Washington, boy, they've got, you know, a rough patch next, what, 3, 4, or 5 weeks. So this is definitely the harder part of the Colts schedule. A lot of the AFC South games are in the second half of the schedule after their bye. So, I mean, let's look at a couple of these guys. Josh Dotson, he is a guy who doesn't look like he's really kind of, you know, gotten to the level that they've expected him to, I don't think. But Trent Williams at left tackle, Sean Luavo at left guard, Chase Rollier at center, Brandon Scherff at guard, and Morgan Moses at right tackle. Jordan Reed is the guy, and Jamison Crowder. Those two are the guys, in my opinion, that really kind of matter when it comes down to what the Colts have to stop. They can't allow the tight ends, him and Vernon Davis and Jeremy Sprinkle, to kind of gash them across the middle, because Alex Smith is nothing if not accurate. Like I said, he is going to love using his tight ends. He's been doing that his entire career. You know, he and Vernon Davis actually have some familiarity from back in the day in San Francisco. So I like Jameson Crowder, though. He's a tough guard, you know. Paul Richardson is there as well. And then obviously the running back by committee, they've got 5 running backs back there. And that's, you know, kind of crazy that they've got that many. But Adrian Peterson, you know, definitely came to play last year. We talked about their defense. I mean, look, the Colts played a really intense defensive front last week. And like I said, they kind of dominated them. But Jonathan Allen, Ziggy Hood, Daron Payne, Tim Settle, Matt Ioannidis, Preston Smith, Zach Brown, Mason Foster, Ryan Kerrigan, Quentin Dunbar, Josh Norman, Monte Nicholson, Greg Stroman, DJ Swearin. They've got a solid defense, guys. And this is, you know, this is going to probably be a really tough matchup on both sides of the ball. They've got playmakers up front. They've got some guys on the back end that can turn the ball over. And they've got some linebackers that not only can cover, but they can rush the passer in Kerrigan. And they've got, you know, obviously Zach Brown, a guy who's got 200 billion tackles over the past few years. So this is not going to be, by any stretch of the imagination, something simple and a pushover, an easy win. This, to me, almost looks like a bit more skewed of a lopsided type of game, especially with the whooping they put on the Cardinals last week, than the Colts would have been with the Bengals, for sure. So this is not going to be some sort of an easy matchup at all for the Colts. And just a couple other quick notes on their defense. They allowed only 213 yards last week. They allowed one conversion on 8 attempts on third down. I mean, none for fourth down. I mean, guys, this is a tough defense. This is a very tough defense. Not to mention they only allowed 14 first downs last week. I mean, the Colts had, what, 10 in the first half, I think, something like that. So this is a defense that is definitely going to put the pressure on Andrew Luck, that offensive line, depending on how everything flows together. The running backs are going to have to protect. Andrew Luck is going to have to get that ball out on time. But this really presents, look, this is one of the things when you look at the quick release, the quick throw offense that Frank Reich designs. He's going to have to be, every week, better than the last in his design, in his play script. Because, look, people get used to that. I mean, you're going 4 yards downfield and you're dumping the ball. That eventually that gets, you know, I mean, it's just like anything else. You get tendencies on people. And if everything's in front of you, eventually defenses are going to just absolutely whoop you, because they're going to be biting on these. They're going to be trying to take these to the house. They're going to cause major disruptions in wide receiver routes and all this other stuff. So, I mean, this is a really difficult scheme offensively to continually do that underneath, inside of 5 yards, 6 yards. That's going to be a real handful, if you ask me, for Frank Reich. He's going to have to continue to be unique in how he draws up plays. He's going to have to continue to be a guy who will absolutely just destroy everything he did last week, go forward with a new play script, and, you know, scheme, like I said, scheme those first 15 plays or whatever it is. But he's also going to have to be different each week. He's going to have to show different formations. He's going to have to show some different packages. He's going to have to get in and out of 11 and 12 personnel into 13 occasionally. You know, even with the three tight ends, you use the two tight ends on the one side like they did with that Ebron touchdown. And that kind of stuff is how you get matchups that you want on linebackers with tight ends that can outrun them. So especially with the Colts, the way that they use Ryan Grant, everything underneath virtually. You know, T.Y. Hilton didn't have a fantastic game. Pascal had a catch. So, I mean, Rodgers had a couple as well. But, look, this wide receiver core isn't scaring anybody, okay? So they're not concerned with everybody going over the top. They're going to try to out-muscle T.Y. Hilton. They're going to use those linebackers in and out. They're going to draw up some tendencies on what Ryan Grant did in the slot, what he did opposite as the Z receiver. A lot of things are going to be on the table for this, and the Colts better be ready, because like I said, when you get into a team like this who has some playmakers on defense, if they start gauging everything that you've done and they start reading up on your tendencies and figuring out what you're more likely to do, they're going to start headhunting these guys, and they're going to split a couple wide receivers in half. They're going to pick a ball off and take it back to the house, and they're going to find ways to create pressure on Andrew Luck. I mean, look, Minuski is their defensive coordinator right now, so Minuski knows everything there is to know about Andrew Luck. He was the defensive coordinator when Andrew Luck came into the league for the Colts. So, I mean, Minuski's done a good job with this Redskins team, and he's got players now. So this is going to be something where Frank Reich really has to be on top of his game. Matt Eberflus has to be as well. But look, this defense isn't really going to change, okay? The only thing that's going to change is the effort level and the ability to make plays for this defense. The defensive scheme itself is not going to be all wildly different each week. They are planning on allowing some of the underneath stuff, hoping that guys can come up and make plays and drive on the ball, knock it loose, pick it off, get into the backfield like Al Woods did last week early in the game. They've got to be able to create ways to get Alex Smith off his spot, but also contain him. That's where they get a little tricky this week. You know, Dalton can move a little bit. Nothing like Alex Smith. So the way that they played last week, the way the Colts played this past week, the way everything's kind of shaping up with Andrew Luck throwing 53 passes, you almost wonder, depending on if Marlon Mack is back in action this week, how the Colts really approach this game, how they approach their usage in the backfield. Do they continue to, you know, allow Nyheim Hines to be kind of the receiver of the bunch and all that stuff? So it's going to be fun to watch what Frank Reich has designed for the Colts right here. But, I mean, this team is ultimately going to go where Andrew Luck takes them. There's just no way, no how that that's not going to be the case. Several things need to change going forward for the Colts, though. The Colts are going to have to be better against the run. They're going to have to be – you can't slant your entire front four every single play. You can't do that. And I think that I don't think that they're going to necessarily, but they really have to figure out a way to get somebody on the backside of this and not try to use the safety, whether it's Gethers or who else, as the secondary edge setter, because that's what they ultimately did a few times. They would crash both ends to the middle, and basically it's one way or the other. You slant completely one way or you slant completely the other. That totally takes you out of position unless the ball's going in the direction you're slanting. And you've got backside contained because you can't allow that guy to sidestep. But if there's any counter or anything like that, that guy has nothing but green grass in front of him. Second thought, you have both ends crashing to the middle. Then you have to have a secondary edge setter, whether it is, you know, the linebacker or the safety or just whatever. You can't really rely on that much, because then you've only got another safety over the top to help in run support, and you've only got one corner at best on that side. Otherwise, you've got a linebacker that's going to have to continue to come across the field to try to make plays. They really have to they've got to get everything kind of worked out. I like the defense. I love the electricity that this defense can bring to the field. If they can continue to force turnovers, guys, they're going to at least give the Colts a chance. But they have to be – they're already in a safe defense, right? They're allowing everything to come in front of them. They're giving big zones away. But they have to be smarter about plays that they can't possibly get for negative yards. They have to be able to recognize these plays and to be able to make sure that if they're not getting a guy in the backfield, they've got to be smart enough to either create a better edge, or they've got to be able to tackle correctly. And that's kind of some of the problem. We saw Sky Moore do it a couple times last week. We saw several guys do it, to be quite honest with you. Even Clayton Gethers a few times, just flying by the guys. They have to, in this scheme, they have to be good tacklers, not just physical. You can't just run in and throw your shoulder at a guy's knees every time and expect to hit him, especially when you're looking at the ground and you fly like a dolphin or something like that. At the guys with your head down, you're not seeing anything. That's TJ Green type tackling. The Colts have to be better tacklers, not just more physical. And that starts with everybody in the back seven, because that front four is there to create immediate pressure or sack the quarterback. Everybody else is there to tackle. And this is just, I mean, it just goes on and on. This is, it's going to be this way all year, which kind of leaves the consistency, you know, completely out the window for this defense. It's just something that you're not going to get a lot of, because there's just so much room on this football field once half of it's vacated. So looking at the playmakers that the Redskins have, you know, whether it's Peterson or any of these guys, this is going to be definitely a difficult matchup for the Colts. I'm excited to see it because I think the Colts can play with them, and I'd like to see them, you know, rock Alex Smith a couple times and get him off his game, because that's really when you make him turn around, and he gets really bad Alex Smith after that. I just really think that the Colts have what it takes to be able to compete with just about anybody in the league right now as far as keeping the game close, but these fourth quarter, you know, blowout, they have to stop. The Colts haven't won in the fourth quarter in forever. I mean, they scored 3 total touchdowns in 2017 in the fourth quarter. They haven't scored any in the fourth quarter this year. So the Colts are definitely going to have to put something on the board in the fourth quarter, and I think that leads Frank Reich to possibly, you know, scripting up some second half throws, especially for those time frames. They've got to get late in the game plays drawn up as well. It can be, you know, something that you just put on the shelf in case the game's close, or a couple of situational plays or something, but they've got to be prepared for that. The running backs, the defense, Andrew Luck, they've all got to be prepared for it. They've all got to be able to do it. So we've got, you know, an interesting game, I think, heading our way this weekend. So now let's move on to a little bit of the Colts news before we get out of here and get you guys, you know, out of here on a good note. The Colts today released linebacker Jeremiah George, one of my favorites from last year. I don't know why I said that we were going to leave on a good note, but, you know, this is the bad news, I guess, for some of these guys. Jeremiah George being released. Tyrell Adams was waived. I believe both these guys from IR, they give them injury settlements. And the way those work, I think I've described it on here before, injury settlements are determined upon how many games you would expect to be out for that injury. And then in order for that player to come back to the same team, they have to wait an additional 6 weeks. So I wouldn't expect either one of them necessarily to, although the Colts coaching staff really liked Tyrell Adams throughout camp, though. So that's something that can't – I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, that are going, we're going to understand that the Colts liked them at some point in training camp. You know, so, and they're not all going to come back. That is just not how it's going to happen. Maybe KJ Brent, maybe one other, Tyquan Lewis, but I think that that'd be about it. But KJ Brent even got an injury settlement, so all of that will be worth watching for sure. We mentioned Jamarcus Webb earlier in the show about starting at right tackle. He did a pretty solid job, but the Colts lost him to IR now. That's kind of a bad thing with that, but you have to expect that LaRaven Clark is probably back in action next week, maybe even Denzel Good. Hopefully, this is not reported. I'm just saying, you wonder with him going to IR what the Colts do next, which is elevate Lindsey Pipkins, the cornerback who played in the final preseason game with the Colts. They've brought him up to the 53-man roster. So they didn't do anything with a lineman. Okay, so that must tell us that at least one, if not both, should be expected back, not to mention Anthony Costanzo. So, and I guess LaRaven Clark was actually a healthy scratch last week, so he wasn't hurt, but Denzel Good was. And I think I got my names mixed up throwing them all out there all at the same time. But so that tells me that at least the Colts think that their offensive line is likely getting healthier. So they also signed cornerback Tavarius McFadden to the practice squad, another cornerback. That's good because the Colts definitely need the depth. They definitely need that kind of player to be able to step up and be able to come into the active roster whenever he's available, because the Colts don't have a lot of depth there. Okay, I mean, they just don't. So, and Tavarius McFadden has played for the 49ers. I think that he's a pretty good, I mean, out of Florida State, I think he's a pretty good corner. I think that, you know, that's probably a good idea. Let's see. I want to see how tall he is, because I don't trust the Colts.com for some reason. Their sizes are never right. Their height, 6'2", 200 pounds. So that's what they've got for him in Pro Football Reference. So we've got that good size. That's basically what everybody else, what they're wanting everybody else to be, right? So nice to see that he is getting there. That's good for the Colts. Like I said, they need that depth at corner, need to find guys who can actually do something there. And the Colts, again, find themselves at the bottom of the league in the NFL power rankings. Let's go through a couple of them here. Elliot Harrison from NFL.com has the Colts 30th. Of course, he used the excuse that if they had Andrew Luck, you know, during the offseason, they would be considerably higher, but he never put them above 30th, so it doesn't make much of a difference. ESPN has the Colts at 29th. USA Today has them at 30th, and that's a complete sham. That dude that does that knows nothing about most of the teams that he writes about, so I'm not even going to say his name. Yahoo Sports has the Colts at 29th, up from 30th. I think that most of these people probably see what we see. We see some of the expectations from this group rising a little bit. In the end, what they all see and what we all see is that the Colts have not lived up to much of that potential. So obviously, until they do, until the Colts put a hurting on somebody. Now, if the Colts would have won that game by 2 touchdowns, the Colts would, you know, be flying high right now. And so would all these idiots, you know, calling them the 29th and 30th team in the league. They'd have them up to like 23 or 24. You watch, they blow a team out by 2 touchdowns, they'll go up 6 or 7 spots, and that's stupid. No team should move that high or that low because of one game. But these are power rankings. They're not meant to be smart. So basically, that's all I got for you guys tonight. Like I said, I hope to give you guys more information as I get it about the shows and what everything is happening. I want to tell you guys pretty bad because I think you're going to love it. But that's going to have to wait until, like I said, everything is all set in stone and we can announce it officially, though. But please keep listening to the Colts cast. Go subscribe, rate, and review. Appreciate that as always. And always get to Stampede Blue for your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Colts cast.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.